the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am digging this jersey that you're wearing here, pal.
Me too.
Shirt. It's a Cubs shirt.
It is.
Look at this. Yeah.
Trying to get them on a winning streak here.
What's their record?
No, they're about 500, like 20-20,
okay.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. Well, get them going.
Yeah.
Got you.
That's the purpose. I'm trying to bring them some luck.
Cubs win.
Cubs win.
That's right.
You go, Harry Carey. Well, Harry's not our saint of the day, but you know who
Thank
is?
Goodness.
Saint Ignatius of Laconia. And we're going to offer up a prayer to him today in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, you led St. Ignatius to the height of holiness along the paths of humility, innocence, and charity toward others. Grant that by imitating his virtues, we may put charity on earth into practice, in deeds and in truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Iggy, pray for us.
Iggy. All right.
I know that at Loyola University New Orleans, they do call him St. Mm-hmm. Iggy. They have Iggy's Cupboard and so many other things with Iggy.
When you get to know
it, so.
These guys, they have nicknames too.
Yeah.
Iggy.
Yeah.
And gals. Sorry, I didn't mean to leave out the female saints. Yeah.
Well, we have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. We will give you details about that is coming up in 8 minutes. But we're joined with Jason Angelette in 18 minutes. He is with the Willwoods community. The Faith and Marriage, and he's going to be giving us some updated marriage retreats. He's going to be talking about United in Love and so many other things at the heart, which is one of his most popular shows. So we'll be talking to Jason and just seeing how he's doing today. David Dawson Jr. joins us in 35 minutes. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Homotipido. And today we're going to be talking about eating healthier as a family. So looking forward to learning a little bit more from Dave today. And in 48 minutes, Patrick O'Regan joins us. He's the president of the Young Catholic Professionals Chapter in New Orleans. And he's going to be giving us an update on what the Young Catholic Professionals are up to in the Crescent City. So a great organization, a fun way to network and socialize as young Catholic professionals. So looking forward to these guests today. It's going to be a good one.
You know, those are good organizations. Good to see young people getting involved in their faith.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And the sooner the better is the way I always look
Bring
at it.
Bring the faith to work. That's the cool part. That's the hard part nowadays.
But bring it with you everywhere.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes. So you could even bring it with you if you're going to the beach, for example. You know, the forecast is calling for scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Doesn't look like that's going to happen, at least according to the radar. I checked it out, and all the rain is in North Louisiana. It's in Shreveport area right now, and it's heading toward Monroe. We look pretty clear, and that doesn't mean a shower won't pop up. But as far as major thunderstorms go, I see nothing on the radar at this point in time. Winds are blowing out of the south-southeast at about 10 to 15 miles an hour. The high is going to be 82, the low 74. Tomorrow, we do have a 50% chance of rain with a high in the mid-80s, low around 70. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Homotipido and Biloxi reporting 76 degrees. On the North Shore, it's 73. In New Orleans, 77. And in Baton Rouge, it's a comfortable room temperature, 72. All right, events are coming your way and a lot more. So stick with us on this Thursday morning on Wake Up.
good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
This passage begins with a summary of the new covenant. The Father loves the Son loves us, and when we remain in Christ, we radiate His love to one another. But how do we remain in Christ? Well, it is certainly not found in the experience of our feelings, nor is it discovered in great fellowship, wonderful sermons, and beautiful music. Our behavior reveals if we remain in Christ. The test is simple. Do we keep the commandments and repent of our sins? It is very tempting to define Christianity in terms that are compatible with the evil spirit of our age, which measures things by feelings. Many Christians have swallowed this deception to their spiritual ruin. Emotionally based religion is not true religion at all, because it is nothing more than the worship of ourselves. Sadly, we have a lot of that today. The fundamental test is simply this. We know that we remain in God's love if we keep the commandments, as Jesus obeyed the Father. We pray for this, that it will become a reality in our lives every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth, that is, in us, as it is in heaven. Fidelity is hard, and that is why the reward is heaven. The irony is that ending habits of sin can seem as a great impingement on our freedom. The devil sells a lie that the key to freedom and happiness is to be rebellious and egotistical like him. The reality of buying into this deception only brings unhappiness and emptiness in this life and an eternity of misery in the next life. Fidelity to the commandments, in contrast, releases the fruits of the Spirit that then permeate our life, and they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are these qualities characteristic of our lives? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy and Father Chris. And right now, there are events taking place in and around the Baton Rouge as well as the New Orleans area you may want to partake in. One in particular is happening tomorrow night. It's entitled Saints by Number, and it's actually painting lessons or class with sacred artist Jacob Zumo. It's going to be tomorrow evening from 6 to 9 at his studio, J. Zumo Gallery in Baton Rouge. The theme for this session is entitled The Immaculate Heart of Mary, where each person attending will be painting their own image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary with the guidance, of course, and instructions of nationally known artist Jacob Zumo. Cost is $100 a person, a couple is $180, and all the painting supplies are provided. There's going to be food, wine, and self-tour of the gallery itself. And also Father Joshua Johnson here in Baton Rouge at Sacred Heart Catholic Church will be doing a brief talk as the painting takes place.
That's nice.
So it's really
nice.
Kind of cool. And you get to keep the painting when it's done, hanging in your home or your office. Give it to someone as a gift. Sign up.
Yeah.
Painting by Saints by Numbers. It's Friday, tomorrow, May 12th. Just go to ccmedia.live for all the details.
So I'm able just to fill in the blanks that are already there, I hope?
No.
Because
yes.
If I got to paint, it's not hanging in my house.
They'll
That's
tell right, you what
right.
colors.
The, it's, it's it, you. They'll go through the whole process.
Oh, good, good.
They give you everything, and it's a step-by-step. It's hard to mess it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Unless you have too much of the wine.
I mean, you didn't do that in school?
They won't let you do
it. I could challenge that, I bet. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, boy, I love this one. The 10th Annual Old Metairie Crawfish Festival and Cook-Off at St. Catherine of Siena this Saturday on May 13th from 2 to 8 p.m., rain or shine. all-you-can-eat crawfish. Live bands, cooking competition between 40-plus teams. So that's going to be a lot of crawfish.
Mm-hmm.
Refreshments are for sale. The tickets are $25 for kids and $35 for adults. Now, $35, and you're going to get entertainment and all the crawfish you can eat.
Yes.
You can't beat that. And that's got to be fun.
Yes.
So let's see. You want to visit scsbluegold.com. No. Yes.
Yeah.
scsbluegold.com. Just making sure I got that right.
You did.
Or ccradio.live.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. ccmedia.live is where you can find all of the events, right,
Thank
Dave?
Thank you, Gabby.
St. John of the Cross in Lacombe will once again host the Holy Spirit Novena beginning Friday, May 19th and concluding Saturday, May 27th, the eve of Pentecost. Each night will feature a different celebrant for Mass as well as musical artists of varying styles. Confession, praise, and worship will begin at 6:15 with Mass celebrated at 7 p.m., Father Sidney Speaks, one of my favorites, will kick off the 9-day nightly novena. For more information, a complete schedule, and more details, you can go to ccmedia.live and look at our events calendar and take a look at this wonderful lineup.
Yeah, tonight there's a special event at St. Jane de Chantel in Beta Springs. It's from 7:30 to 8:30, and it's Father Jeff Bahe, is founder of Metanoia. He's going to give a presentation about human trafficking in our area, and that's big news, of course. Mm-hmm. He's going to have statistics. He's going to discuss the myths, the indicators, what causes it, where we can help, and how the healing and support process at Metanoia is taking place, giving them a chance to have a new life, these young women. There's no cost to attend, and you don't even have to pre-register. Just show up tonight.
Just go.
That's right. Show up at St. Jane de Chantel Catholic Church, 7:30 to 8:30 tonight in Abita Springs.
Yeah, because that's quite the crisis, and it's amazing what Metanoia does.
Yes.
You know, his group does, and to help out. So see what you can do, and attend. I recommend it. I've been to one of his presentations on that, and it's pretty
good.
Amazing. So the second annual Cheers to Chesterton Gala is coming up Friday, May 26th. It's Chesterton Academy of Divine Mercy. It's a new full-time classical high school in Catholic intellectual tradition education. So go to ccmedia.live. You'll get the rest of there.
All right, Dave. Thanks for that.
Man, I got that in.
Yeah, you All did. Right. Well, Jason Angelette is going to be getting it in as well. And that's coming up in just a minute after we take this break on this Thursday morning. Wake up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 11th. Today we celebrate St. Ignatius of Lecconi. If he hadn't kept his promise to God, we probably wouldn't be marking the feast of St. Ignatius of Lecconi today. Born in a large family in Sardinia in 1701, Ignatius suffered a serious illness as a young man. He vowed to become a Capuchin Franciscan if he recovered. In time, he regained his health, but he ignored the promise he had made and went on about his life. Years later, he was in a horse riding accident that left him unharmed. Seeing the incident as a sign from God, Ignatius resolved to act on his unfulfilled pledge. By then, he was 20. He became a Franciscan brother. For 15 years, he quietly served his community as a weaver, but he found his real calling when he was assigned as the official beggar for the friars in Cagliari near his hometown. It was a task he performed daily, without fail, with devotion, for the rest of his life. While on his rounds, Ignatius would instruct the children of the town, visit the sick, and urge sinners to repent. Many people reported cures during his lifetime. Following a brief illness, Ignatius died in 1781. He was canonized in 1951. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you're listening to Wake Up, or you're watching us on Wake Up if you're watching the stream, or if you're watching us on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith, and I have an old dear friend here, Jason Angelette. He's the author of the program United in Love, United in Christ, and is also part of the Will Woods Community Faith and Marriage. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear your voice. I wish I could see you in person today. It's great to be on the program with you guys.
Go for the voice. Yeah, you don't want to see me in person right now. It isn't pretty. But
I heard someone say, "Yeah, I've got a phase for radio."
There it is. That's right. Well, Jason.
No, you're a good-looking dude. So
okay.
That.
Yeah, keep talking, buddy. but look, I know you're the author of the program "United in Love, United in Christ," and that's a pretty amazing thing. Now, this is something that's shared with parishes and everything, and this is a marriage enrichment program, right?
Correct. Yes, it's designed as at first before COVID. We really wanted to encourage couples coming together at the parish. There's a great gift in formation and fellowship as couples, as a community.
Yeah.
We really need that, to be in locked arms together with other couples and be surrounded in an environment that's going to bless your relationship with the Lord and obviously your marriage and your family. So we wanted to encourage couples coming together and growing in their faith and their love for God and their love for each other. And so, the sixth date night at the parish kind of program that we wanted to offer to go after some really important topics that would be a blessing for couples. We designed it to where there could be some small group discussion, but then we also wanted to make it intimate and private, to where there's also couple reflection time between just the spouses, where there's not sharing. So there's a little bit of an element of just having conversation, not necessarily group sharing, but just conversation about particular topics, and then being able to address certain things that couples can really be benefit from and grow in their relationship with each other.
So if our parish is holding
after COVID.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so we have that as something that the parish can offer.
Yeah.
Or maybe if the parish can't at the time, certain couples can, if they wanted to get together in a small group setting in their home or at the parish, they could kind of do something with that. And then after, obviously because of COVID, we needed to revamp some things, and if it's just a couple wanted to be at their own pace in their own place, they can do that as well with the United at Home version. So same content, but just a little bit different. But whatever is available, whatever a couple can do, I encourage couples to take advantage of the materials. It's something that I feel like is so foundational for how we can grow in our relationship by drawing closer to our Lord as a couple.
So you're saying that the United at Home one is for the individual couples to do by themselves if they choose?
Correct. So
okay.
Because of the restrictions with getting together and the complications that all that brought about, I was like, okay, well, while we're home, let's try to do something while we're there to really do something for your marriage. And here's a way we can make that work. And so all online, the resources, the videos, and they can just stream it like that. But really, so either which way, there's not a lose. It's always a win, however you look at it. But the goal, I think, too, would be encourage those couples who are like, you know, I want to get more couples together.
Yes.
And I want to, do something and to really evangelize.
Right.
You can just simply have this set up at your house, say, hey, we're going to do this, little marriage kind of Bible study, however you want to present it.
Right.
And say, or we'd like to host at our house. You can bring a side item, bring a bottle of wine, and we'll just answer these questions, watch this video, and enjoy some time together.
That is special. I think it's also a bonding with other couples, which I think is necessary, especially in a parish, because it has that ripple effect. You have this strength in your own marriage that's growing. You're affecting other couples that are right there with you, and it's sort of a bond, and that's what all parishes need, right?
Right, I'm agreed, and we need to do this together. I think sometimes, we do a lot of things with men's ministry, right? And we talk about guys look, you don't go Rambo. You can't we can't fight this spiritual battle by ourselves.
Right.
We need to lock arm with our brothers. As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens his fellow man. I think the same is true in marriage. We can't try to do our marriage and go Rambo with just the two of us.
Yes.
We've got to be able to lock arms. There's times, obviously, where we need to, in our privacy of our own home, talk about things and go, whatever. But there's also times where we need to be locking arms with our brothers and sisters and saying, we're going to fight this fight together as a community.
Yes.
And we are stronger together.
I know that Lisa and I are involved in a couple of small communities and where couples meet, and we meet at each other's houses. Right. And it is amazing how that strengthens you, because we do have a tendency to isolate ourselves as a couple.
Yes.
We're busy. We've got so much going on. But when you associate with other couples, then you realize we're not the only ones that are having a problem here or there. And we're giving each other strength. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah. it's I could, and I'm guilty of that. Like, I'm guilty of being the guy saying, hey, look, I don't have the time. That would be great for you. But look, for me, though, I got so much stuff going on, I can't. But I know that the times that I've made the sacrifice to be intentional, to lock arms with my brothers in my little prayer group, or whether it was to form communities and be together with in a good circles of other like-minded couples who are trying to grow in their faith and their love for God and want to build up marriage versus find every opportunity to tear it down, that has been a huge blessing.
Yes, yes. All right.
Well,
go ahead, Gabby.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So, Jason, it is so hard, I think, as we get older to meet other couples and kind of break into the habit of the routine of family life. If we're in that routine, how do we meet other couples? Tell me what the secret sauce is to meet other couples.
I know.
And make
I know.
That time.
Well, there's... Exactly. I mean, I think in couples in our parish, like, you know, when you're looking, let's say it's you're at the church and it's Sunday and everybody's walking out and you know, maybe there's a family that you've been seeing in church and like, I don't know that family. Like, let me go say hi, you know, and just to kind of, you know, broach the topic that way, just saying, hey, how y'all doing? And just small talk and see what naturally where things can lead. Also, too, parishes can kind of help support this kind of interaction by doing things like having marriage enrichment opportunities. So then you go like on this date night series at your parish. Well, you're going to see a lot of other couples probably in your same spot that you can start in talking to, maybe family members too, just reaching out. And I know sometimes even it's harder to make friends with our family than it is to make friends with a stranger, but you know, to take that initiative to, you know, make that phone call and just to kind of like just put yourself out there. And I guess all of that led with prayer and praise to the Lord, saying, Lord, I know this is a good. I know this is what you want for me. Lord, open the doors you want to open. Lead the those that you want us to unite together in friendship and fellowship. Who is that, Lord? And I just say yes, Lord, and please open those doors.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Jason, talk about the marriage retreats that are coming up. Lisa and I attended one last year and just thoroughly enjoyed it. So I can't recommend them enough.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah. Talk about
thank
them.
You so much. And so I encourage every married couple, regardless of where you are in your marriage, like, you know, just starting off, or if you've been married for 50 plus years, an annual married couples retreat is so worth the time. So I know that, like, you know, a lot of us here down in the South Louisiana, we know about Manresa, and many guys, I know that they will take off of work Thursday. They're like half a day. They're out to that Manresa, that evening, and they're there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they see the benefit. And you talk to guys who go, they're like, oh man, I really needed this one, this year. I knew it was coming because I could feel it. Like, I needed just that space and that time to be away with the Lord. So there's something very true about our own personal walk with the Lord, where we need to, as the Lord himself did, find the mountaintop and spend the time with the Lord, with the Father in prayer. Mm-hmm. And there is that intimacy that the Lord is calling us to, right? Because before we're human doings, we're human beings, and we need to be present before our Lord. But when in marriage, where the two have become one, there is a responsibility, a calling that couples are given to join together in their faith and develop their own spiritual walk together in the Lord. The two have become one. So as one, they need to find time. And that's why daily couple prayer is so important. It's, as one of my friends called it, it's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. You've got to spend time together, regardless of the timeline.
Right.
You can do something, even if it's just a single prayer every night, something before you go to bed type thing. But at the same time, once a year, to have that intimacy where you can go off to the mountaintop, even if we're in South Louisiana and we don't reach that high, we can find that spiritual mountaintop and we can find that space and that place to grow. And we've been doing married couples retreats with Willwoods for a long time. I started in Willwoods in 2007, and I'm telling you, every single time I've seen couples walk away blessed, even when one couple was dragging the other couple to the retreat.
That's right. That's right. And it's always held at St. Ben's or St. Joseph's Abbey, right?
That's one of our that's definitely a home for us. We love the Abbey. We've done it in other places. We've done a couple of married couples retreat cruises. We've done one time we did a retreat out in Napa Valley. We've done some retreats out at the Cynical, the New Orleans Archdiocese Retreat Center. But yeah, for the most part, all of our retreats are housed at the St. Joseph Abbey in St. Benedict or Covington, Louisiana.
Yeah, it is so beautiful up there. It is so quiet and so peaceful. And your schedule isn't rigorous. That's the part that I like, is it's a lot of time that Lisa and I could spend with each other, peaceful, and then hear some incredible presentations that uplifted us. It gave us information that we hadn't thought of. We'd been married for years. Jason, where do we go to find out more about everything that you're offering here?
Faithandmarriage.org.
That's easy.
Faithandmarriage.org.
Faithandmarriage.org. Jason, thanks so much for joining us again. And we're going to talk to you really soon.
Thank you all so much for having me on. God bless you guys and all that y'all are doing.
All right, man. God bless. All right. It is 7:30. You're not late for work yet, but you might want to get going. It's 7:30 on Wake Up.
Happy Thursday, everyone. It's 35 after the hour, and get up, get going, and thanks for joining us here on Wake Up. You know, when it comes to eating healthy as a family, that's a big challenge today. Can be stressful, as a matter of fact, because of our busy work schedules, from budget constraints all the way to even having the right foods in the household at the time you want to cook. And many obstacles can get in the way of healthier eating habits. But you know, David Dawson Jr. is with us, and he is with the Office for Parish Support of the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. And that's our topic today, eating healthier as a family. And if anybody's going to have a family to talk about, it's him with all his little munchkins over there chirping away, wanting to eat snacks and everything else along the way. Dave, good morning and welcome to Wake Up.
Good morning.
How many? Nine kids? Am I right about that?
I got nine.
Nine. So
I've been to the grocery store with David.
Yeah, the question is healthier, and let's focus on that, because that is a challenge in today's world.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. I think the biggest thing, honestly, you kind of hit on it, was the time thing. Mm-hmm. How much time do we have to think about this? And money thing is certainly there, too, because eating healthy is popular, and anything popular is expensive. You know, so I think one of the things to keep in mind, for me, it's not fun, you know, to start thinking about having to try to eat healthy. I don't enjoy that. And part of the gift of eating that God gave us is to enjoy it, you know, and to receive a gift and to give you joy. And so a lot of times the assumption, and I had the assumption a long time, is that if you're going to receive food as a gift, if it's going to be joyful, then you can't also eat healthy. You know, those two things don't go hand in hand. Eating healthy means that you can't enjoy it. You're just trying to do the right thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to eating, if we're just trying to do the right thing, then we miss out on something. You know, we're just kind of fueling up. And honestly, I think healthy eating has become almost like a religion in of itself to some extent, which has kind of boiled down to a kind of self-worship. A lot of times when we say eat healthy, we're like, worship yourself, you know, do the right thing, right, and get obsessed with your health, which that's not what I'm talking about. And that doesn't help us really at all when it comes to our spiritual journey. It just becomes another obsession, like watching the news, or, you know, fitness can become this obsession, even though we're supposed to be taking care of our bodies, you know. So I think the balance that I have seen is that I'm doing it for somebody else, right? I realize that. If it's going to be that I'm not doing it because I'm worshiping my body or myself, or that I'm not just eating for fun, that if I'm doing it for somebody else because what I eat changes how I feel. And if I'm coming home and I'm shoving down some junk food, or I'm having a couple of drinks every night, you know, then like, it's going to affect, like, I'm going to be more tired, you know, before bedtime. If I'm eating a bunch of carbs, a bunch of junk food, like, I'm going to feel like garbage. And for some reason, because it doesn't happen like immediately, usually it takes about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, I don't connect those two things. And I'm like, man, why is the world just awful? Why do I feel like, you know, if I could just lay down and die, that'd be great. Why is everybody such a pain in the rear?
Yes.
You know? Well, I think, but the key is, in my opinion, is, at least this is what worked for us, is preparing properly. In other words, we would kind of set the menu. Let's just say today's Thursday. For next week, my wife and I would sit down, plan the menu. I'd run to the store, get the items we need, kind of get them pre-prepped, especially the snacks for the kids. You don't want to give them garbage, like you said. And then the challenge is making sure everyone at the table is going to eat what it is you prepare. And that to me is the biggest challenge, because one may not like broccoli, the other one may not like beans. So you got to find that happy medium and figure out which ones work and include fruit and vegetables along the way with the protein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Then, right? Then you have the other challenge is a high volume. In other words, a high volume of people eating.
Well, in his case.
How do you do that healthily?
Yeah, in his case. You know? But for normal families, 4 to 5 people. Yeah.
You know,
not Dave isn't normal.
Right.
But no. But then, you know what? You say corn dogs. But, you know, corn dogs could be a good once a week or once every 2 weeks item. But give them some type of fruit or vegetable to go along with it.
Corn dog.
Yes.
Corn dog is a vegetable.
Yes.
Anyway, just saying.
It is.
Let's let Dave.
Dave, well, corn dogs are a vegetable, your dad said. I want to know about that.
Oh, but we did lose Dave just for a second there. Yeah, I believe, his phone dropped out.
It's good that we're talking.
Well, yes, it is.
So my son is in this period where he eats like a vacuum cleaner. I mean, it's like wipeout city, you know, and it's just beginning. So, but we have healthy snacks in the house, tons of fruit. Mm-hmm. We have protein bars. So he's not snacking on chips, but he's kind of like a little chicken. He's grazing, you know, throughout the day and getting what he wants. So there's no restrictions on it. It's healthy food. So he can go and pick some grapes or blueberries and stuff like that. And he feels full, or some yogurt. And so for lunch, we do pack, you know, peanut butter, apples and stuff like that. So I think there's a balance there. And we can make it budget friendly. It is it is tough, though, sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think in Dave's case, he's got with 9 children.
Yeah, he's back on the line, by the way.
I'm aware of that.
Oh, okay.
And he is one that I want to hear from. So how do you go about doing it?
Yeah, the biggest thing what we do is we look at kind of what's for sale. So one of the things we recognize, if we just get a bunch of prepackaged stuff, a bunch of stuff that's super high in salt and sugar, that tends to have the biggest effect on the behavior, on our behavior, on the way we sleep. And so we try to avoid a lot of salt and sugar if we can, which means that we're doing a lot of preparation, which means that our schedule kind of revolves around that preparation. So it's funny, like our schedule will be affected by this, but when we're preparing our own stuff, the kids can be involved in that. So we're looking to see what's on sale as far as like the meat department, you know, because that's kind of going to be surrounding, you know, what decisions we make, and then we meal plan around what meat's on sale, you know.
So yeah, no,
that's
good
kind
idea.
Of the easiest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It works out well. And then that way we know what the kids like and don't like, and we can kind of work around that. But it's, you know, they also get to kind of adventure a little bit. And part of, you know, the way we were raised is adventure with food is a good thing. And if you can learn how to do that, you will be living a good life. So I think helping them to do that, even though it's hard, we got to kind of stand firm sometimes to get them to where they can learn how to enjoy these things is a huge benefit, even though it may take a little fight at the get-go. So it's very doable on a budget. I think doing the fresh fruits and vegetables and meats and that kind of thing, as opposed to the prepackaged, it's very doable. I think it these days, especially the amount of YouTube channels eating healthy on a budget, I mean, it's ridiculous. Because, like I said, it's one of the benefits of the fact that it's kind of a religion right now. There's plenty of resources. The hard part, I think, is the schedule piece. It does require that you're going to make this a part of your life, you know. Yeah. And I think the only thing that motivates us, because I'm not going to do that for me. Most of us, we're not going to make these huge, what seems like huge decisions for ourselves. Yes, I want to be healthier, but I'll do that tomorrow. But what I really want is I want to be more alive and happy with my kids. I don't want to just be barking at them all the time and be feeling sorry for myself at the end of the day. And that, to me, is what motivated me to start making decisions more than just, hey, I want to feel better.
Yeah. The other thing is get them involved, you know. Let them tell you what it is they like. And on top of that, let them be a part of the preparation. Yeah, it may take 15 minutes longer to prepare the meal, but if they're getting involved, they're going to eat what they prepare in a lot of cases.
Oh, sure. No, that's a huge help. I think letting them, even part of the meal planning process, letting them make some decisions there so, you know, they know that there's some ownership. But regardless, I think the fact that we're all sitting eating the same thing together, there's something very, very foundational there. That there's like this unitive aspect of like we're all eating out of the same pot. God gave us that, and it's amazing what that does to where, even if I'm not a huge fan, of what we're eating, the fact that we're all eating it together and experiencing the same thing, there's like a foundational human thing going on there that really cannot be underestimated. And I think, like I said, recognizing that if I'm putting junk in, what does it feel like? And talking with our kids, like if you ask my kids right now, you know, they're eating, but like, so what are you eating? Well, what's the protein? Did you get any protein?
Right.
Mostly because if we're going to mass and you hadn't had enough protein, you're going to crash and you're going to be throwing a tantrum and dad's going to be upset. So they know that protein is the key to a happy mass, you know, for example. So recognizing that, like, even a bunch of donuts, you're going to feel like your life is terrible if you eat a bunch of donuts.
That's why you do it after mass after and mass, not before.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Make the rest of your Sunday awful. Okay.
We avoid that too. Yeah.
Well, in eating together as a family, that's critical. I know with everybody's activities and the young ones as they are growing up, they're going to baseball, dance, you name it. But boy, get everybody together each and every night, and you'll be blessed in a lot of ways. David Dawson Jr., thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for some of that insight. Yeah. That's helpful.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, buddy. Have a great weekend. It's right around the corner.
Yep.
In the meantime, it's 45 after the hour on this Thursday morning. Don't go too far. Wake Up is coming back.
It is 48 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is Patrick O'Regan. Patrick is the president of the Young Catholic Professionals New Orleans chapter. And today he is telling us about the wonderful organization, networking, getting together, and being with like-minded Catholic professionals. Hey, Patrick, good morning. Thanks for being with us again.
Hey, Gabby. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is such a great organization, especially we're out of COVID. We're trying to make friends as 20-somethings, 30-somethings. You know, it's hard out there, and it's also hard to express your faith in a lot of professional settings. So how do we do that? And tell us a little bit about what Young Catholic Professionals is and how they can help.
Absolutely. Sure. Thank you so much for all this. This is awesome. It's all about community. It all comes back to community. It's so hard to find that in your 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. A lot of us, we graduate college. Maybe we were involved in the Catholic Center. Maybe we were involved in youth group or something like that before that. But what happens between college and when we're starting a family? And how do we find a support group of like-minded Catholics, like you said, whenever we go into the secular workforce, et cetera? So, yeah, it's all about having that community of people who can support us, who can say, hey, I've done that before. Let me give you some advice, or, hey, that was an awesome thing that happened at work. You evangelized in such a great way. Let's celebrate that together. So, it's community. It's fantastic.
What have you found with our age group right now? So millennials and Gen Zs, we're now in the workforce or starting into the workforce. These are the generations that are starting out. So what can we do, and what have you found as far as gathering together as young Catholic professionals in the workforce? What are they seeing as far as expressing their faith and trying to find that sense of community?
It's really difficult. What I've found is a lot of people have very unique challenges, according to their profession. People in healthcare are going to come across really different challenges than people who are, you know, like lawyers or engineers. Myself, I sell software, corporate America software, remotely from New Orleans. So what I encounter is very different. And I've found that whenever people find a couple other Catholics who are in that industry, or who have, you know, encountered the same problems, it really helps them not only to, you know, solve it a bit, or, you know, help to come to terms with it, but it gives them that comfort that, okay, I'm not alone here. I'm not the only Catholic at my company. I'm not the only Catholic that's going through this, because it can be
Okay.
Oh, Patrick, I think we lost you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's okay. And he makes such great points, you know, and not so much hiding our faith, but being firm in it as well if we are in that faith part of our journey.
Yeah.
But it is difficult for many people in those corporate settings or the busy settings. But I know that if you're working at a parish level, diocesan level, or even Catholic Community Media, it's easy to express your faith, right?
It is.
But it can be very challenging.
Yeah. Especially in the world he's in. You know, he's in
corporate sales. I mean, corporate software sales.
Software sales. And boy, no telling how those folks think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick, we're so glad that you're back with us. Tell us a little bit about some of the gatherings and events that Young Catholic Professionals puts together in the New Orleans area.
Sure, sure. So we always have, every month, we have an executive speaker series, which is an event where we typically meet at a parish hall. And we have a speaker who's, you know, between the ages of like 40 and, you know, 60, someone who's been in the workforce for a little while can have some wisdom to share. We have those every month, about two hours. And then we also try to have one happy hour a month where we're just coming together and having a drink after work and just relaxing. And it's much more informal.
And that's a great way to network as well. I know that I've gone to a few Young Catholic Professionals events in the New Orleans area, and we're handing out business cards, we're talking about our work, and we're connecting, and it's pretty great.
Yes, it's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, we just had an incredible event two nights ago. We met at Our Lady of the Rosary. Susie Vetters talked about Strength Finders. She's a certified Strength Finders coach and helps us really just understand what our assessment report said about who we are as people. We all took assessments before, and, you know, it helps us understand how do we be the best version of ourselves in our vocation, in our personal life, and then at work too, because we have to be authentic across the board.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges you're seeing with Young Catholic Professionals right now, Patrick, as the president of YCP?
Oh, gosh, what an incredible question that is. I would say, kind of goes back to why we exist in the first place, community. I mean, people are just lonely. People just feel like they're the only Catholic. And, you know, it's hard to find like-minded Catholics, too. And there's so much variety in our Catholic faith, you know, across the board. Everyone talks about, oh, are you a conservative Catholic? Are you a liberal? It's like, okay, we're Catholic. We need to come together and just celebrate that we all believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the importance of confession. And then also the things that we go through at work are really not that, you know, whenever you boil it down, it's secularism and it's how to be bold. It's difficult to be bold. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. You make great points there. So where can we go to find out more information about the next executive speaker series or happy hour or just be involved with YCP in New Orleans?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook. We have a Facebook page. We also have an Instagram page. But most importantly, our website is ycpneworleans.org. Okay, you get there, ycpneworleans.org. You scroll down. There's a subscribe field. Plug in your email address, and you'll be on our email list. You'll know when all the events are coming up.
Is there any cost to join, Patrick?
So all the events are free for anyone.
Good.
However, we do sometimes have events where you know, they cost a little bit more to put on, so we ask that non-members pay a bit. But to be a member, it's $36 a year.
Wow. That's pretty good. $3 a month.
That's great. That's cheaper than Netflix, and we all know we have at least one streaming platform that we use.
Right. Right.
Oh my goodness. Well, I love it. And you're absolutely right, Patrick. We're looking for that sense of community. Not only for our generation is it hard to date, you know, or find friends, and I think that we've been talking about that, but it's difficult to express your faith as well when you feel like you're the only one who feels a certain way. So thank you so much for saying you're not alone, and we're here for you, and here's a community where you can go with like-minded people and express that. So thank you so much, Patrick, for being with us today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
I think the theme of today was Gabby has hard time making friends because she's so busy. I think that's pretty evident. I still have my core group of girlfriends, but it is tough. And I always like to get some advice from people like Jason, Dave, and Patrick on what we can do. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, and really, we have an advantage here at Catholic Community Media that this is our mission. So we're constantly talking about our faith life. It's what mm-hmm. we do, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even that in itself can be challenging. Sometimes business gets in the way and it can take us away. I can only imagine the need out there for Christ in the workplace. I imagine that's
absolutely,
you know, a strong need.
All right.
Well, if that's the case, then let's pray for that.
There you go.
All right. Yes. And again, St. Ignatius of Laconia is our saint of the day. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Teach me, O Lord, how to visit others with your love so that your presence within me reaches out to them. Work through me to console and comfort and guide. St. Ignatius of Laconia, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time with the Catholic Foodie, Terry Dixon with the Diocese of Biloxi, events, and so much more. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.